I want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. It's been good to be here already. I've heard a lot of good things for us this morning. Appreciate so much our study in the book of Hebrews. It's such a parallel to our Christian life, and learned so much from that. I've got a lot of papers in my Bible, and I can't find my notes that I wrote this morning, so maybe I have to preach without them. I'd like to turn to Psalm 127. The first verse there says that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. There's never really a good time to talk about home building and relationships, because if you're young and inexperienced, you don't have the experience. If you're right in the middle of it, you maybe lose some of the answers that you had when you were young. And when you're old and your children are all gone, and then times have changed, and it no longer the old rules apply. All of those things are somewhat true. I know that probably as a young person, maybe we can get the most answers from the ones closest to the front here. But maybe we hit the most useful answers maybe from the ones that are right in the middle of it. I don't know. I just remember the experience. And as I'm speaking on this, some out of a request, some out of the fact that the feeling of my own heart is that it's a great need for today. And it is, I think, the closest thing that we can find to heaven on earth today is the home and human relationships. It's a place where, and it's also, I also realize that it's, that many people don't experience that. And I think God intended it for our good and for our blessing. But also the fact that there is a warfare, and that our enemy is there to try to destroy the home in a very definite way. And yesterday I went out in the shop to get the tractor, and there was a nest of swallows there that had they made their nest just above there, and one little birdie flew down and flew to the window. And just that quick, the cat was there. Boom, it got it, just like that. There was one little peep, and that life was over. And the many tens of thousands of mosquitoes that bird would have eaten in his lifetime was extinguished in that little peep. And I don't think that the devil is quite that away in the same sense, that one mistake and it's all done. But I think it gives us warning that life is real, and that we need to be diligent, and we need to operate with with deliberation and care and right choices. And so, Psalms 127, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. There's also more hesitation. You know, when I look at my own children, and I see the mistakes that I have made, and I realize that they're better parents than I was, also gives pause, makes it hard to speak. But I believe that, like I said, that it's important that we also realize I'm running out of time, that there's don't have a lot longer to do this, so bear with me. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. The next chapter says that children are inherit. Well, it says in the same one. It says children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And it talks about olive plants being around the table. And it gives a beautiful picture of a family that is growing and loving in that respect. So how do we get to a point where what are some of the things that haven't changed? You know, the most security that we can create, that we can build in a home, is with a husband and wife relationship, and that is first. And it's no accident that God used Christ and the church as the foundation for a picture of the husband and wife relationship. And so Proverbs 31 has a verse in there where it says that it talks about the virtuous woman, all the things that she does. And then in verse 28 it says, her husband also, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. And I think that is one thing that's just a really important key in building solid relationships is a recognition of what's good and an affirmation of that. If our children hear us giving honor to our wife, their mother, it's going to build respect and a blessing for them. If they hear the opposite, if they hear contempt, mean-spirited teasing and mocking, it is going to destroy more than what we can ever build in a lifetime. It'll destroy in a short time more than what we can ever build in a lifetime. And so when it says, her husband also, and he praises her, that's just a short phrase. And yet that has a tremendous meaning. And I believe that is one way to ensure that we will get what we want in the end, that we will build a successful home and be a blessing to the world around us. There are many things that, for a wife, it says, Hebrews 5 tells us that we must love as Christ loved the church, and he says that And he uses the metaphor of the body. He says, no man ever yet hateth his own body, but he nourisheth and cherisheth it. I love those two words because there's a tremendous amount of meaning in there. Nourish and cherish means that you actually literally protect it and keep it warm. Take that for whatever way you mean, think. But anyhow, that's how you nourish and cherish something. You protect it and keep it warm. Keep it close to you. And so that's what he says the husband should do for the wife. Be a protection. And if the children sense that, that is going to be a tremendous stone, a tremendous foundation stone. Murray said that foundations don't get much attention unless it's malfunctioned in some kind of way. And that's very true. And this is when that part malfunctions, it gets a lot of attention. It doesn't look good. But when it's right, it's just there and it seems right. And it's good for that. Another thing that hasn't changed, and that is the children's obligation to obey, to honor and respect. their parents. In Ephesians chapter 4, just Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4, I'll just read those. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, those are such important concepts in every respect. They are... It's simple to understand. Children, obey. That's the first. That's actually the only requirement for children. It seems like that is there, and it's very easy to understand. Even a child knows what it's like to obey or to disobey, and yet it is it's one thing that is sometimes. Easy to lose. They gauge a dog's intelligence by how easy it is for him or how quickly he is able to follow a command and how easily they will respond to those commands. And a dog's intelligence is rated that way. I wonder if it's... the same way for people. Would that be right? Say that your intelligence is rated by how quickly you can obey, by how quickly you can learn? I don't think so. But I think it's parents need to understand that that this is important and then have it happen. You know, I know many of you are right in the middle of the battle, and there's parents here that have teenagers, and down to little children, and some of us have our children gone, and some of you are just starting out, and so we're at all different stages. But believe me, the time will quickly pass. If your oldest is 10 years old, in another 10 years, he'll be 20. And if you think the last 10 years went fast, you just wait for the next 10 years and the 10 years after that. Time really moves along, and it doesn't leave much time for us to do something. And so it is important to get to use the time that we have to get it right as much as we can. I use a haybine to cut hay yet. Haven't progressed to the disc mowers. But when you're cutting hay, you try to get a full swath. And you try not to do too much to where you leave a strip of grass that is uncut, because it's very difficult to go back and cut that again. And you have to keep watching the haybine to make sure that it doesn't plug up where the grass is coming out, because you can't see that part of it very well, what's under the windrow. And so you have to be listening, you have to be watching, you have to gauge your thing. And I want the thing to look like a yard when I'm done, but I'm not. It never does. But it doesn't keep me from trying. I keep trying to do it as efficiently, the best way possible. And sometimes it looks a little bit ragged, but I keep trying. And that's the way it should be in our homes. If we make a mistake, we don't give up and just say, "Oh, we can't do it." We keep trying. And we correct the things that we know are wrong. If there's a broken knife, I can go halfway around the field if it's under a windrow before I realize that, hey, there's something broken there. And you can't just keep on cutting. You have to fix it. You have to stop and take care of it and spend a little time. and it'll make the rest of the job easier. And that's so much the way it is with family as well. When there's something broken, we need to spend some time to try to fix that, or it'll be a disaster for the rest of it there. Psalms 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants around about thy table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. That comes right after Psalms 127, where it says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hands of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies at the gate. I remember many times when someone spoke on child training when I was younger, that they would often say, enjoy your children when they're small. And I'll say the same thing, enjoy the children when they're small. I understood from implication that it wasn't going to be as enjoyable when they got older. But I didn't find that to be true. Every stage of life is has its blessings, and every stage has its challenges too, but every stage has its blessings. When children mature in a normal way and you can interact with them more and more as an adult, that's a blessing too. I love my grandchildren, the 2-year-olds, and whether they're 3-year-olds or 4-year-olds or 5-year-olds or 13. It's just an enjoyable time of life. And so I'm enjoying the part where it says, thou shalt see thy children's children. And that's a lovely time of life too. And I feel like in many ways I get another chance with them. But when you enjoy your children when they're small, you're likely going to enjoy them when they're a little bit bigger, when they start to school, for example. And then in adolescence, and then youth, and then as they go on to start their own homes and so on. I can tell you that it can be a blessing at all stages of life. I love to see when parents are very involved in getting their first person off to school. That's a big day for them. It shows some good connection in that. I love to see when they come to be 16, that it's a big deal to start going with the young folks. It's a lovely thing, and you get a new perspective of church life, a new round of busyness. But it's an important thing. Enjoy every stage. And the way you do that is by developing a relationship, being able to talk, being able to communicate, being able to do things together. And I'd like to just speak about a few of those things. One of the times that is different is that it's so easy to buy food nowadays. You can't afford people think, to raise your own food. I think you can't afford not to have a garden. There's something therapeutic about planting, watching things grow, going out and harvesting, and eating the fruit, eating what you raised, or what you at least helped God grow, okay? There's something really meaningful about doing all of this, and you're not realizing that food is cheap. I mean, for us as Americans, food is so cheap for us, and you can, most parts of the world, it consumes much of a person's time to just to provide food for himself and his whoever he's responsible for. Today, it's not that way for us. We've grown kind of unthankful, and we've lost a little bit of a touch of raising what is important, because it's good. It's good for children to weed the garden, to pull the weeds, and to watch things grow. It's great. And so don't give up just because food is cheap in the grocery store on that. Besides that, they're probably going to find out that what you raise locally is probably better for you anyhow. And maybe that'll be the next big trend. People have to have transformed their flower beds into gardens and raise your own. Maybe that'll be your children's fad. But I'm convinced it's good. There's projects that we can do together, and that's where gardening is such a lovely project, because you can put four-year-olds out there to pull weeds if they recognize the difference between the weed and the plant. That can be fun. It can be enjoyable. It can also be drudgery and enslavement if the attitude is wrong, but it can be good. One of the warm memories that I have of having our children at home, our boys at home, was the hours we spent building a table in the shop. We got Robert Beiler helped us get some legs and some slides for a dining room table, and we got the lumber and we built this table. We spent lots of hours out there building this table. And then after that was done, we spent lots of hours around the table enjoying each other's company, and we still do today. You know, we stretch this table out, and when our family gets together, there's lots of good times there. But it didn't come from the material, physical only, but it was there. It was all put together. You know, I love to work with wood, and my son Jonathan loves to work with wood. And when he's far surpassed me in any abilities that I have. He makes beautiful furniture and beautiful wood projects and so on. And so, this is pretty elementary now compared to what he's able to do. But it was a project that we did together, and it's something that we continue to have enjoyment, but not simply because of the table, but because of the relationship that we build one with another. One of the things that I appreciated so much, and I look back on as we were raising our family, was the good group of peers that we had. And we could compare notes informally about and watch what the others were doing. And we couldn't mimic anybody entirely. But there's things that you can learn from a lot of different people. And as we keep our eyes open, we can do that. Obedience is incredibly easy. It's incredibly important for a a child to understand and learn, but obedience is one tool that can gain other tools as well. Love for music was something that was very evident in my wife's family and somewhat in our family. We enjoyed that and a lot, but for our children that was a really big thing, and we made a deliberate decision to have as good a music system as we could afford. We saved quarters for a long time until we were able to buy a tape deck and an amp and some speakers, and then have good music. And our children grew up with a love for that. And I remember such a blessing it was for me to be able to enjoy the same kind of music that my teenage sons did. And it wasn't because, I don't think I enjoyed the wrong kind of music. I think they enjoyed the right kind of music. But we grew. I learned from them. I learned from my wife. And I learned, and we also got, when our children were a little bit older, we got the Meacha Church hymnal that we had together that we would sing together. I've always enjoyed the church hymnal. And it's a solid hymnal that I just really, really appreciate. And so we got that, and that was the idea was there. We would sing together as a family, and when they left home, that would be theirs to take with them when they left. And so that was another project. That was another thing that went along with music. There's a lot more available now. There's a lot more great music available now than there was back then. But we tried to make a conscious effort to build good music in that sense. One of the things that I remember growing up is that my friends were always welcome in our home, in my childhood home, and we tried to do the same in our home. People could come without an invitation, be there for meals, and so on. It's a little different when you're cooking for two or three people, or where you're cooking for 10 or 11 or 12 or 13. It's just a little bit more. Doesn't make any difference there. It didn't seem like it. But it does now, so when we have company, we have to plan for it a little bit. But I think it's important for your children to have the freedom to bring visitors, to bring their friends home. And it's a tremendous opportunity for you to show hospitality and to teach them that important part of life as well, to be hospitable and love. The important thing about living our normal life is that memories are made all the time, and it's not just when we do special things like going on a vacation or taking a fishing trip. You know, those are all important. Those are all memory-making things too. But the normal everyday things of life are the things that our memories are made and values are formed, and life is just the real things in life. The everyday things in life are what is what is important. as the children grow up, needs change, and you know, as it comes to time of youth, and there's youth activities, sometimes there's choices that need to be made of what's most important or not. I don't think it's completely normal that young people want life outside of the home as well. And they want to expand their social lives there and so on. And so, you know, it's normal to want a volleyball game every once in a while. Sometimes pretty often. It seems like that happens pretty often. And I can understand that. I liked it as well. But it's also important for parents to stay in touch there. I remember when our children were home that we couldn't go to sleep until we heard them come in at night. There's a poem called "Are All the Children In?" that speaks to the early days and then to later in life, to the end of life, when our life is over and the question is, are all the children in? I'm not going to try to read the poem. But I remember that it was important to discuss with our youngsters, or young people, the happenings, what was going on, and being able to connect with their friends and so on during that time. That was an important time of life as well. I want to say just a little bit more about appreciating one another. We had this project of building a table, but it was much more what went around the table afterwards that was much more important than the actual building of the table. And mealtimes were purposely intended to be a happy time and to be a time of connecting. And, you know, I know that there's failures, but I think that it's a critical time for families to connect at mealtime. And when I hear and see and think of people that don't eat together, everybody is running their own schedule. They don't spend time together. It's a bad sign for us. We'll break our bond if we don't spend time together. I don't say it has to be every single meal, but if it's not on a regular basis, if it's not, for example, supper time, for us was a supper time every time, and breakfast we often left early, lunch we were gone during the day. Supper time was a good meal. It was a good time together. It wasn't that the food was always top, wasn't always the expensive stuff. We ate a lot of soup, but it was fine. It was a good time. My wife was a good cook. She always made things look nice. She always made things taste nice. And even second time around, it was good. And she still does that. But that's not the important part. At home, my childhood home, we ate bean soup occasionally, and I never, ever learned to like bean soup. I don't like any part of it. I don't like the milk or the bread or the beans. And recently, while Dad was still here, I stopped in on my way home from work, and they were eating bean soup. Dad knew my dislike for bean soup, and he offered me some. And I said, oh, no, I sure don't want any of that. The next night, I stopped in, and they were having bean soup again, believe it or not. And the next night I stopped in, they were still having bean soup. I said, maybe we'll have to take up an offering for you guys. But no, they enjoyed it. They really did, and they still like it. Mom still likes it today, but that was something that I never, ever liked. And but in spite of that, we had good times around the table. In spite of the fact that our food wasn't always what I really liked, we still had our regular meal times, and we still enjoyed our time around the table. And time of reading, time of sharing, time of talking, and it was an important part. It's a great time to teach. It's a time to teach gratefulness. You know, in spite of the fact that I hated bean soup, I would never be allowed to say I hate this stuff. Dad would always be quick to point out that there's many people that would just love to have something to eat, and I was not allowed to be ungrateful. And so how do you teach gratitude? It's an attitude. You just really can't. If somebody doesn't have it, he doesn't have it. Isn't that right? But no, there are certain parameters that are not to be crossed, and that was one of those things, is to hate food, hate this, and we were not allowed to use those terms. Another one would be to one of the things that was interesting and helpful is on a long trip when things were getting a little uneasy, you put all the names in a hat when the children were old enough to write, and you pulled out a name out of a hat, and you wrote something nice about that person that you appreciated. And if you've got four-year-olds, that doesn't work, but if you've got six-year-olds, that could, or eight-year-olds. And if you've got 15-year-olds, it's probably pretty important that you do that sometimes. But write something that you appreciate. And you know, a kindness is a circle that gets started, and it just keeps on feeding on itself. If you think something kind about someone, it's going to help you to be kind to that person. If you're kind to that person, it's going to be easy for that person to be kind back. And there's a wheel that gets started that just doesn't quit. And it's a blessing to be on the receiving end of that. It's also a blessing to give. The Bible says more blessed to give than to receive. And so it's just something that parents, when they're alert to what's happening, they can do it. I know with little children, there's things that irritate. And even looking at him can make him unhappy. He's looking at me. You know, we would have never said that at home. But those are some things that have changed now. Teach gratitude by showing good things that the person does. And build each other up in that way. I'm not saying all this because I think that we're in a hopeless situation, but it's just easier to keep things moving in a good direction than it is to try to change direction or try to get something started that isn't. And when I say husband and wives need time together, I appreciate when I see efforts like the church at Kirksville, they have a date night for married couples there. And they have an arrangement that you take your children, if you're in the circle, you take your children to a certain place, whatever night you choose, somebody will be there to babysit your family while you go for your time. And I don't know how often they do it, several times a year. I think that's important. I think that you don't have to spend money you don't have, but you need to enjoy your time together and have a time to talk. The important thing for my wife and I was, after the children were in bed, to pull out the teapot and have a time of talking and sharing, and that was almost every night. And it's just important. You need to build that, or we'll lose too much of it. So, you know, and I'm not saying this because I know that I have a lot to offer. I'm just saying it because I know how it felt. I remember, and we don't remember just a terrible lot of even a very good sermon. If you want to listen to a really good sermon and you weren't there, listen to Joe's message at the fellowship meeting on Sunday morning. And those are available, I think. You can maybe even go online and get them, I'm not sure. But just listening one time, we don't remember just a great deal. So unless we use the tools that are available to us, we don't remember too much of anything. We use it or we lose it. And so if you hear something that relates to you, resolve to do something about it, and it'll be a part of your life. If it just passes, then it'll just pass. So just trust that the Lord will bless. I see all these young children up here in Sunday school, and I think, what potential for the good if it's turned the right direction. So Lord bless you, families, as you raise your children for the Lord. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.